Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. According to Politico, the Trump administration plans to decimate NOAA and end its climate work by abolishing its primary research office and forcing the agency to help boost U.S. fossil fuel production. By now, you've heard that scientists across the country are losing their jobs. Those who are still at government agencies say they are hamstrung. They cannot do their work. And this is just the beginning. According to reports, the Environmental Protection Agency and the Department of Energy are next. So what does this mean for the climate crisis? Over the years, we have done so many shows about the need to cut greenhouse gas emissions in half by the year 2030. With Trump in office, there is no way that will be accomplished. So what now? Joining us for the top of the show is Representative Jared Huffman. Congressman Huffman represents California's 2nd Congressional District, which includes Marin, Sonoma, and Humboldt counties. He was first elected to Congress in November 2012 and currently serves on the Committee on Natural Resources and the Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure. Hi, Congressman Huffman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Well, I know you are so passionate about these issues because prior to your legislative service, you served as senior attorney for the Natural Resources Defense Council. And as you know, we've never seen anything like this. What does this all mean for the future of the climate crisis?
That's the question we're all struggling with. I wish it just meant that the political pendulum was swinging and, worst case, we lose a little bit of time in the fight against the climate crisis. And once we win an election, we can put things back in order and pick up right where we left off. Unfortunately, what these folks are doing is much more destructive than that. They are not only trying to change policy for their tenure in power, they're trying to burn it all down in ways that will take many, many years to put back. And some of this could be irreversible, irreparable. So we've talked a little bit about the cuts to NOAA. It's a good example where you don't just flip a switch and turn an agency like NOAA back on after you've totally deconstructed and dismantled it. It takes years to develop the expertise. Some of the scientific data sets and baselines that NOAA oversees, have go back decades. And when you just stop that work and disrupt it, it's just not, you can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again.
Many scientists are speaking with reporters off the record and talking about what they're experiencing, saying that they cannot spend any money at all. They cannot do their work. These are the ones that still have their jobs. They're afraid they're going to lose their jobs. What are you hearing from people who have lost jobs and are wondering if they're going to have one?
Well, I'm hearing all of that. We're hearing from whistleblowers. We're hearing from people that are passionate about the work they do. This is not some nefarious deep state. These are professionals that serve us in ways that save lives, that make our quality of life better every single day in ways that many Americans don't even appreciate, but we benefit from it. And they're being forced out of their jobs. Or if they're hanging in there and still showing up for work, they're doing it in a way where they are afraid and intimidated. We've got the most powerful man in Washington, Trump's OMB director, Russell Vogt, who has basically declared war on anyone who works for the federal government. He said that he wants them to feel afraid. He wants them to be traumatized just when they think about coming to work every single day. That's where we are. And it's just unthinkable, cruel, and certainly not the kind of government any of us should want to see.
The environmental health news reports that ocean heat waves are now lasting three times longer due to fossil fuel driven climate change. Representative Huffman, we do so many shows about the climate crisis. We've had scientists on who say we have to cut greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030. 2030 is such a critical year. And many scientists have told us if Trump wins this election, it's almost game over for climate. They just say we have to be honest about this. So here we are in 2025, and he's going to be in office for the next 4 years. What are your thoughts about that 2030 deadline and what this means?
It's deeply distressing. You've got one of the best climate scientists in the world on your show, Dr. Michael Mann, and he can speak to this far better than me in terms of what it means. But from where I sit, you know, our policy imperative to change industrial policy, to do all of these things that we've been trying to do to just to meet the goal of 1.5 degrees Celsius. It's a race against carbon pollution and a race against time. And Donald Trump, at a minimum, is costing us 4 years in that race. But as I said, he's going beyond that. He's trying to deconstruct all of this in a way that will take us a lot longer than 4 years just to get back to where we were. So he's basically trying to take away any chance of meeting our climate goals. And I just can't imagine anything more reckless and destructive than that.
Like you said, Professor Michael Mann will be joining us in about 10 minutes. We'll also be joined by Shay Wolf, who's a climate science director at the Center for Biological Diversity. And they just filed a lawsuit against four cabinet-level agencies for failing to release information on these, quote, action plans to boost the oil industry and other fossil fuel producers by rolling back and eliminating environmental safeguards. So there are a number of lawsuits out there, but the other unprecedented move by this administration is that they're defying court orders. So what can be done about that?
Well, there's no operating manual for this because we've never seen it. Never have we had a president who's so thoroughly testing every limit on his power, so thoroughly obsessed with consolidating and exercising unprecedented executive power. And honestly, I think our founders put a very thoughtful framework of checks and balances in place in our Constitution, but they probably never imagined a situation where we would have an authoritarian, corrupt president like we do, and a Congress that was so thoroughly compromised that they didn't want to serve as a check on power. We've always known that the judicial branch is a wonderful check on power as long as our political norms and our other checks and balances are willing to stand behind what courts say. But you're right, we're now in a dark new place where the president is signaling he won't comply with court orders, and Republicans in Congress are not about to stand up to him and provide the check that the Constitution calls for them to provide. So, look, I'm in the minority in this Congress. I'm going to do everything I can with the limited tools I have to fight this, because I truly think the future of our democracy is absolutely on the line right now.
We're speaking with Representative Jared Huffman, who represents California's 2nd Congressional District, which includes Marin and Sonoma counties. We're talking about the future of the climate crisis as Trump dismantles federal agencies. Representative Huffman will be with us for about 5 more minutes. If you have any questions for him about what can be done about this, you can email yourcall@kalw.org. You talked about the few tools that you do have. What are some of those tools?
Well, we have public opinion. That's the most important tool. And you're beginning to see signs that the public is awakening. If that really takes off, it can be incredibly powerful, such that even these compromised Republicans in Congress, even this president and his administration will have to listen. So that's encouraging. But the other tools, you know, really, you know, legislatively, the power of the purse has been taken off the table by this Congress. They don't want to exercise it. The power of oversight has been taken off the table. So, Democrats are simply using our communication platforms as aggressively as we can. And we're trying to coordinate with folks who are litigating in the courts. That's probably the other big one right now. And then you're hoping that if you can get courts to step up and uphold the law, that we will find a way to make sure that this administration actually complies with those court orders.
The other issues that are so concerning, of course, is public health. The Washington Post had a piece just a few days ago, layoffs and funding delays could slow the fight against lead. And then Grist has a piece, people would die. As summer approaches, Trump is jeopardizing funding for air conditioning. What about these issues, Representative Huffman?
Well, with so many of these things, the recklessness of these actions is going to I eventually start hurting people and even killing people. And that should lead to a public backlash that allows us to correct for some of these terrible things. I mean, look at what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is doing to science and public health as the Secretary of Health and Human Services right now, whether it's vaccines or any number of other things, or dismantling NIH and all of the important science that happens there. The same thing is happening, under this billionaire Howard Lutnick that's been put in charge of the Commerce Department. He doesn't understand what a lot of these programs at NOAA do. And a lot of folks would like to spin off and monetize so many of these things we count on, the National Weather Service being a good example of that. But the ham-handed way in which they're going about all of these things is starting to hurt people in a very real way. And once that begins to happen, once that becomes part of the national conversation, there is the potential for an overwhelming public backlash that will help us, together with the work my Democratic colleagues and I are doing in Congress, with the work that litigants are doing in courts, that public backlash, I'm kind of counting on all of these things together to see us through this terrible moment.
I know we have a couple minutes left, Representative Huffman. We're getting a few emails from listeners wanting you to answer this question.
Okay.
How did you all lose to these people?
Yeah, I wish I had a good answer for you. And we can beat ourselves up a lot. I'm sure the Democrats could have done a far better job of inspiring public confidence on things like immigration and crime, where frankly we kind of took ourselves out of the conversation. And I think that had a lot to do with why we lost. But we got to look at the here and now, and we got to look ahead, because recriminations over what happened in 2024 are not going to save us right now.
So, looking ahead, as you know, Senator Bernie Sanders and Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are on a tour of the country. It's an anti-oligarchy tour. I mean, they were in Folsom, California, and brought out, looks like, more than 10,000 people. They were in Missoula, Montana, talked to a packed crowd. So, you have them doing that. And then you have people like Senator Chuck Schumer telling Semaphore that his advice for Democrats is, just wait. Trump will screw up. He says Trump's move is the best thing that happened to Democrats. So, what are you hearing from top brass at the Democratic Party? What is the way forward? Because, as you know, there are many different factions who want different things at this time.
Yeah, I am in the fight camp. If this is a choice between, just play possum and wait for them to screw up, or stand and fight with all you've got, I'm in the latter camp. I did not want to serve in Congress at a time where we're reliving our own 1930s Germany, but without hyperbole, I believe that's exactly what is going on right now. And I don't think, just sort of playing possum and waiting for them to fail is the appropriate response to a moment like this. We've got to fight with everything we can.
Does it matter if people contact their representatives? What do you all do with that information?
Look, I think engagement matters. And contacting your own representative is a way of being engaged. And, I can't quantify what kind of difference that makes, but it certainly doesn't hurt. And it shows that people are paying attention when these rallies happen all over the country, as they did recently. And many hundreds of thousands of people are participating. It shows Donald Trump and the Republicans in Congress that people are waking up and, are tuned in to things like Medicaid cuts and Social Security and other things that we know these guys are up to. So showing them all of that is super important. But we'll have to do more than just, write to members of Congress that already agree with you. We're going to have to find ways to create political pressure on the Republicans in Congress that need to come around and step up to this moment.
Representative Jared Huffman represents California's 2nd Congressional District and serves on the Committee on Natural Resources and the Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure. Representative Huffman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. On today's Your Call, we are talking about the future of the climate crisis as Trump dismantles federal agencies. There are a lot of stories out there about plans to decimate NOAA. People are losing their jobs. According to reports, the EPA and the Department of Energy are next. What are your thoughts? We've done so many shows about the need to drastically cut greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. Professor Michael Mann has been on many times saying if the Republican Party wins, it's just going to be devastating for the future of the climate. So if you have any questions or comments about where we go from here, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Michael Mann is Presidential Distinguished Professor of Earth and Environmental Science, Director of the Penn Center for Science, Sustainability, and the Media, and Vice Provost of Climate Science, Action, and Policy at the University of Pennsylvania. Professor Mann is the author of many books, including Our Fragile Moment, How Lessons from Earth's Past Can Help Us Survive the Climate Crisis. Hi, Professor Mann. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Yeah, hi, Rose. Thanks. It's great to be with you.
Great to have you back. Shay Wolf is Climate Science Director at the Center for Biological Diversity. They work to secure a future for all species hovering on the brink of extinction. The CBD is suing 4 cabinet-level agencies for failing to release information on Trump's plans to boost the oil industry and other fossil fuel producers by rolling back and eliminating environmental safeguards. Shay Wolf was the lead climate science author of a new report that was just published in the peer-reviewed journal Oxford Open Climate Change. Top scientists are issuing an urgent warning that fossil fuels and the fossil fuel industry are driving interlinked crises that threaten people, wildlife, and a livable future. Hi, Shay. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Rose. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, it's great to have both of you. Professor Mann, let's start with you. What did you make of what you heard from Congressman Huffman about where we are right now and what the Democrats, the few tools that the Democrats have?
Yeah, well, my friend, Congressman Huffman, always speaks with such clarity about these matters. He's one of my heroes, and the bottom line, and I couldn't agree with him more, is that we're at a pivotal moment and we have to literally fight for our future because we have, a very powerful vested interest, the fossil fuel industry in particular, behind this agenda that's unfolding with the current administration and Republican Congress. Everything that we care about is under threat now. And so we have to recognize that this is an existential threat that we face right now. The math is unforgiving. With each year of inaction, and now we're not going to see meaningful federal action on climate in the United States for the next several years. And with each year of inaction, it makes it that much more difficult to reduce carbon emissions fast enough to avoid some of those critical thresholds of warming where we start to see even worse consequences than we are already seeing.
Shay, what would you add? What did you make of what we heard from Congressman Huffman?
Yeah, absolutely agree. That Congressman Huffman put it so well, and so did Dr. Mann, that there is just no sugarcoating the immense damage that Trump is doing. We are playing defense against an unprecedented level of attack, on our climate, on our bedrock environmental protections, on our health, our wildlife, our public lands, all the things that we care about. We're seeing the dismantling of our federal agencies. I mean, really, the second Trump administration is one of the worst things that has happened to this planet. He's taking attacks even further than, you know, his biggest critics imagined. You know, just killing the climate, aggressively fast-tracking dirty fossil fuel projects at this time, like Dr. Mann said, when we need to critically, it's a critical time to phase out fossil fuels and switch to clean renewable energy across the economy. And, you know, all of this is being done by the Trump administration to enrich a small group of people, billionaires, you know, like Musk, you know, big corporations, fossil fuel companies. He's, you know, just taking a sledgehammer to climate policy, you know, the policies that have been built up over decades to protect us, to protect our health and environment. I think we have a big battle ahead. Like Congressman Huffman said, you know, we are hopeful that this, the recklessness of the Trump administration, you know, will spur people to stand up and fight back for the place where they live, for the planet that they love. We, you know, we and many others are fighting back, but we need everybody to stand up. And there is, you know, there is action we can also take at the state and local level. That's very important, but it is a very difficult and, you know, overwhelming time. This avalanche of assaults from the Trump administration is intentional, and it is such an urgent call to action for all of us to fight back in the ways that we can.
Professor Mann, when we think about who can fill some of these gaps, what are you hearing out there? Because at this point, with no money from the federal government, there's going to be a lot more talk about philanthropy, people with a lot of money. Are they going to be funding environmental NGOs? I mean, what are you hearing about out there about how some of these gaps can be filled?
Yeah, and that's really what's so egregious in sort of Trump 2.0 is there's an assault not just on climate policy. And we saw that in the first term, and we expected that. But with Trump 2.0, and this was telegraphed really by the Project 2025 report. They telegraphed what they intended to do. Right. That is to say, the plutocrats and the petrostates like Russia and Saudi Arabia, the, you know, billionaires like Musk and Peter Thiel, they are all working together to advance this anti-democratic agenda. And much of what's behind that agenda is to dismantle efforts to move away from fossil fuels, which fundamentally fund these plutocrats and these petrostates towards renewable energy. They're literally weaponizing our entire government and destroying our democracy to further an anti-climate, pro-fossil fuel agenda. And one of the things that's so egregious this time is that they're not just going after the policy, they're literally trying to prevent us from even continuing to measure the climate, as if we somehow, if we stop measuring the temperatures of the ocean and the receding ice sheets and all of the other changes in our environment, that somehow it'll go away, or at least people won't be paying attention, which is what they really care. They it's really very much out of sight, out of mind is their approach. They don't want people talking about climate. They don't want people measuring the climate. And what's so tragic, and Congressman Huffman alluded to this, one of the things that's so important in climate science is having very long, reliable, continuous records, like the famous Keeling curve that shows us how carbon dioxide has steadily warmed since 1958. Measured up in Mauna Loa, Hawaii, the highest point on Hawaii, this long-term measurement that goes back more than half a century that's allowed us to document the increasing concentration of carbon pollution in the atmosphere. And now they're literally trying to defund the Mauna Loa station, which will interrupt that very important long-term record. And this is just one example. Today, they took down a whole bunch of data sets, including data sets measuring our coastlines and satellite data. It's almost as if they're trying to dismantle data that contradict the flatness of the Earth. It's literally a flat Earth agenda that they're advancing here. And it's not just climate. It's all of the environmental progress that we've made over decades, even under previous Republican administrations, is being dismantled as we speak.
Well, to your point, I mean, that's the thing that's just unprecedented about this, because There's a great piece in the Sierra magazine, Layoffs at NOAA Signal Setback for Climate Research and National Security. And they start the piece focusing on Tom DeLiberto. He received an email from his employer the afternoon of February 27th. His job as a climate scientist at NOAA had come to an end. He had until 5 p.m. to leave the office. By that night, his work account was locked. The National Weather Service is an agency within NOAA. It provides vital forecasts and weather warnings, and it's reduced the number of weather balloons it's launching across the country due to staff shortages. They use these balloons to gather information on humidity, temperature, wind, and other data that predicts weather and model storms. So this is going to mean less accurate weather forecasting. I mean, Professor Mann, a lot of people probably don't even know this exists, but it's so important so you can prepare if something devastating is about to hit your city.
Absolutely. I've been talking about this for some time now. people have to understand that what they're doing, their dismantling of this entire infrastructure, is going to hurt farmers and other people who rely on, you know, reliable seasonal climate information. And it is going to put people in harm's way. It is going to kill people, because those observations that you speak to, we have this rich global network of observations, including these regular records of not just conditions, atmospheric conditions at the surface, but up through the atmosphere, that we feed into weather forecasting models to predict the trajectories and intensification of tropical cyclones and hurricanes. And NOAA flies hurricane hunters into those hurricanes to make additional measurements that we can feed into the models that allow us to better predict the tracks and the rates of intensification of these storms. And so we are not going to be able to do as good a job now in predicting the paths of these storms and predicting the impacts of these storms. And that is literally putting human beings, Americans, in harm's way. It is going to lead to the mortality of Americans. They are killing people.
We're going to take a quick break. On today's Your Call, we're talking about the future of the climate crisis as the Trump administration dismantles federal agencies. Michael Mann is professor of Earth and Environmental Science, director of the Penn Center for Science, Sustainability, and the Media, and vice provost of Climate Science, Action, and Policy at the University of Pennsylvania. His latest book is Our Fragile Moment: How Lessons from Earth's Past Can Help Us Survive the Climate Crisis. We're also joined today by Shay Wolf, climate science director at the Center for Biological Diversity. They work to secure a future for all species hovering on the brink of extinction. Shay is lead author of a new report that just came out. It was in the peer-reviewed journal Oxford Open Climate Change. Top scientists are issuing urgent warnings on fossil fuels. If you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. On tomorrow's Media Roundtable, we'll be joined by journalist Jen Stout, author of Night Train to Odessa, covering the human cost of Russia's war. Then we'll discuss media coverage of Trump's tariff policies, which have raised fears of a recession. If you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can email yourcall@kalw.org. And if you'd like to join today's conversation about the future of the climate crisis, you can call us at 866-798-8255 or email yourcall@kalw.org. Today we're joined by Michael Mann, professor of Earth and Environmental Science at the University of Pennsylvania. Shay Wolf is climate science director at the Center for Biological Diversity. Shay, what are you hearing from your colleagues who work at various environmental organizations and maybe also work at, you know, philanthropic organizations? Because I just keep wondering who is going to fill the gaps. I mean, you all are now really more important than ever. So what are you hearing from your colleagues?
Yeah, I mean, so many people, organizations are trying to figure out how to effectively fight this avalanche of assaults from the Trump administration. And one tool, a key tool that we have, is litigation. And so our organization, Center for Biological Diversity, and many others are filing lawsuits against the Trump administration and doing that from day one. And we will probably be filing hundreds. We filed during the first Trump administration, we filed 266 lawsuits. And at that time, we were able to win almost 90%. But that's not to say that this is just a kind of a level way beyond what we experienced in the first Trump administration. So many things that he's doing are so blatantly unlawful and unconstitutional, and they're being done in secret with no public process. So some of what we're doing and others are doing is filing for information, Freedom of Information Act requests and lawsuits to just get the information from the government on what they're doing to set the stage, you know, for future legal action. So that's a big focus of our work at this time. Like you mentioned, we just filed a lawsuit yesterday for four cabinet level agencies for failing to release information on their action plans to like boost the fossil fuel industry, because the polluters right now in this administration, they are in the driver's seat. And so we filed 21 lawsuits so far, and we expect that to continue. We need to keep up the pressure on that. And hopefully the rule of law will stand in this country, and we will be able to overturn and challenge a lot of these assaults in court.
Well, that's the question, right? Because the New York Times' Adam Liptak had a piece 2 days ago called In Showdowns with the Courts, Trump is Increasingly Combative. And he writes, Trump and his allies have waged relentless rhetorical attacks on several judges who've ruled against him, at times calling for their impeachment and at others suggesting that Trump is not bound by the law. So, Shay, what are you hearing from lawyers at the Center for Biological Diversity and lawyers who work at other environmental organizations?
Yeah, well, that's a big concern on everyone's mind. I mean, we have constitutional lawyers that are calling out that this administration may not, it already is not abiding by the rule of law. So it's, I think it's a big, this is kind of uncharted. This is really uncharted territory. I just think a lot of legal scholars and others are trying to figure out how we grapple with and fight back against this really unprecedented situation that we're in.
Professor Mann, I was also thinking about what role the states can play now, given that the Trump administration is saying that coal is clean. And it's all about drilling. The New York Times reports that two dozen former commissioners and directors of state environmental agencies issued a letter expressing deep concern about reports that the EPA will eliminate its scientific research arm. The letter says states do not have the capacity to conduct research at the same level as the EPA. The EPA science arm leads the way for states on everything from how to remove forever chemicals from drinking water to developing new techniques to clean up heavy metals from toxic cleanup sites. So what are your thoughts about what states like, say, California can do at this point?
Yeah, no, it's a really important point. And even states like my home state of Pennsylvania, which is sort of a purple state, we have a Democratic governor, but there's a Republican legislature, and they have opposed funding these sorts of activities, environmental enforcement, the state EPA. So we're sort of hamstrung here. There is, this sort of attempt to dismantle action at the national level. And in many of the states, you also have Republican legislatures who are also making it harder for the state to enforce its own laws. And so it's very difficult for the states to then make up the shortfall when it comes to the policy vacuum. It's very difficult for the states to make up the shortfall at the national level because they're busy doing what they can just to continue to make progress with their own environmental enforcement activities. And so that's where we are right now. At the same time, it's worth noting that There are a large number of states that actually do have some sort of carbon pricing official climate policy. So even though we don't have an official climate policy at the national level, and the Trump administration certainly won't be building on, for example, the some of the climate policies that were put in place under the Biden administration, under the Inflation Reduction Act, there's going to be this vacuum at the national level. But more than 30% of the population, and I believe it's 36% of the economy, of economic activity, occurs in states that now do have climate policy. So there is still policy action taking place at the state level, with consortiums of states, like the West Coast states that have worked together, like the New England and Mid-Atlantic states, the REGI consortium. You have these regional consortia of states that are implementing climate policy. It's possible for us to make some progress at the state level, at these sort of regional levels, and at the local level. And let's also keep in mind that there is progress that's still being made at the international level. And there's some evidence that China may actually see U.S. withdrawal from international climate agreements as an opportunity for China to sort of present itself as, you know, the leader of the world's nations when it comes to climate action. There's some evidence that they may be trying to step up their own game as the United States under Trump and congressional Republicans sort of cedes that ground to other countries. So we're making progress. We are seeing carbon emissions start to plateau. There's some reason to believe that they may actually come down over the next few years, but we're not making progress fast enough to avoid some of those critical thresholds. And with the U.S. on the sidelines for several years now, which is the best case scenario, it's going to be all that much more difficult for us to achieve those global reductions in carbon emissions necessary to avert, for example, a 1.5 Celsius, 3 degree Fahrenheit warming of the planet. That may soon be out of reach, and it's going to be important to limit the warming as much as we possibly can if we do miss those targets.
Well, and to that point, Shay, as I said earlier, you are the lead author of a new research paper that came out. Top scientists are issuing an urgent warning on fossil fuels, and your review highlights that fossil fuels account for about 90% of human-caused carbon dioxide emissions, heating the climate, acidifying oceans, and fueling unprecedented climate disasters. Can you tell us more about this report?
Yes. So the scientist warning on fossil fuels is a scientific review by myself and 10 co-authors that was just published a few weeks ago. And it reviews this extensive body of evidence on the pervasive dangers from fossil fuels and the fossil fuel industry, and also talks about the solutions that are available now to, or under, you know, it's at different levels, federal, state, and of course we're hindered now at the federal level, but it does focus also on state, local, and international solutions that are available to phase out fossil fuels and transition to clean renewable energy, which we so desperately need. And this report is meant to be a resource for everybody, for your listeners, you know, for the public, for decision makers. It is freely available. So if you look up scientists warning on fossil fuels, you will be able to access the paper. And importantly, the paper doesn't, it doesn't only cover how fossil fuels are driving the climate crisis. This, that is so critical. And scientists have been, like Dr. Mann, have been warning about that for decades. But it also, the paper also reviews how fossil fuels harm our health, how they harm public health from cradle to grave, how they worsen environmental injustice, you know, because of discriminatory policies for decades. Fossil fuel infrastructure, that dirty polluting infrastructure, is disproportionately cited in communities of color, in low-income communities. Frontline communities get hit first and worst from the harms from fossil fuels and fossil fuel infrastructure. The paper also covers how fossil fuels are accelerating biodiversity loss and how they fuel the plastics and petrochemical pollution crisis. I don't know that everybody knows that plastics are made primarily from fossil fuels, and the fossil fuel industry is increasing its investment in plastics production. And we know plastics pollution is a global crisis. We have microplastics everywhere, you know, in our even on our own bodies, in our air, in our water, in our oceans. And finally, a really important piece of the paper is reviewing how, like, for decades, the fossil fuel industry has waged this multi-billion-dollar disinformation campaign to deceive the public and policymakers about the dangers of fossil fuels, about these pervasive harms, to block action to phase out fossil fuels and do the transition to clean energy that we so desperately need. You know, one thing that the I'd love to talk about a little more if we have time is the action that we can take at the state level, and particularly in California. And Dr. Mann raised a whole bunch of really important efforts that are going on underway. And in California, I think it's so important. We have so much ability here to keep making progress on climate change.
Yes, please talk about that.
Yeah. So I state and local action, you know, is so important. California is such an important place for that. You know, our elected leaders really need to step up. And some of the things that we can do are protect our bedrock environmental laws in California, like the California Environmental Quality Act, as Trump tries to dismantle federal environmental law. Another thing is just to keep accelerating climate policy in our state to phase out fossil fuels and transition to clean renewables. We've already done a lot in California, and other states have done some of these and can do the same. We have a fracking ban. We have a law that requires a health and safety buffer between drilling sites and where people live and go to school. And we have local ordinances like those in LA to phase out drilling. But one key thing across the board, I think that's really important, is to hold the fossil fuel industry accountable for its damages and deceits. And there are dozens of state and local governments that have filed nuisance and fraud lawsuits against oil and gas corporations, and states are also pursuing legislation. So this is really key, requiring fossil fuel industry to pay for some of the damages that they have caused from fossil fuel climate change. And these kind of polluter pay laws have passed in New York and Vermont. And in California, we have a very important bill being considered by the state legislature, state legislature right now. It's the Polluters Pay Climate Superfund Act. And this California bill would require a kind of relatively small number of the largest multinational fossil fuel corporations, you know, who overwhelmingly have driven the climate crisis and are raking in record profits, to pay for some of the damages they have caused in California from fossil fuels, to pay a small portion of their profits to invest in our communities and our businesses and our workers, all of which are threatened by the climate crisis. So I think for listeners, it's really critical to call your state senators and assembly members to support this polluter pay bill and, you know, similar efforts where we can hold these polluters accountable and get, you know, get some much needed funding for our state to deal with, you know, the climate disasters that we're facing.
And we'll definitely do shows about that. That is Shay Wolf, Climate Science Director at the Center for Biological Diversity. Shay led a new report that's out. Top scientists issue urgent warning on fossil fuels. You can find it at kalw.org. Click news and then your call. Professor Michael Mann is Professor of Earth and Environmental Science, Director of the Penn Center for Science, Sustainability, and the Media, and Vice Provost of Climate Science Action and Policy at the University of Pennsylvania. His latest book is Our Fragile Moment: How Lessons from Earth's Past Can Help Us Survive the Climate Crisis. Professor Mann, we have another question from a listener who says, since we're going to miss that 2030 deadline, and again, so many scientists say that we have to cut greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030. Since we're going to miss that, is there going to be a new deadline? Can we still reverse the damage?
Yeah, it's a great question. And there is sort of a misconception here, because we talk so much about 1.5 Celsius warming, that's roughly 3 degrees Fahrenheit warming, as this specific target where if we exceed it, we see even worse consequences of human-caused climate change. And that's all true, but it makes it sound like it's a cliff that we go off at 1.5 Celsius, and that does require 50% reduction in carbon emissions by 2030 and zero carbon emissions by the middle of the century. So it becomes mathematically more and more difficult with each year of relative inaction. We make it sound like it's this cliff that we go off, and you know, once you go off the cliff, there's nothing left to do. And that's not really the way that it is. We should think of it more as this dangerous highway that we are going down. And yeah, we may miss the 1.5 Celsius exit at this point. It's going to be an uphill challenge to make that exit. But if we do, and I'll use the analogy, I'm here in Philadelphia, you're in San Francisco. If I wanted to drive out there and I missed my exit to the Pennsylvania Turnpike, I wouldn't, you know, drive all the way to Toledo. I would take the next exit. I would take the earliest exit that I could take and get back on course. And the same is true here. So if we miss 1.5 Celsius, I'll tell you what, 1.6 is a whole lot better than 1.7, and 1.7 is better than 1.8, and so on. So every bit of carbon pollution that we don't produce is going to make us better off. And at this point, it's a matter of getting off that highway as soon as we possibly can. And there's some good news in the science of the last 15 to 20 years. We used to think that there would be what we call committed warming, that if we stopped carbon pollution now, the surface of the planet would continue to warm up for decades because of what we call the thermal inertia of the oceans. They're very sluggish in the way they absorb heat. And so it's like a locomotive. If you slam on the brakes, it doesn't come to a screeching halt. It might go several, you know, another kilometer or so down the tracks before it comes to a stop. We used to think the climate system was the same way, but as we now model the various components, including the oceans and the role that they play in absorbing carbon from the atmosphere, when we model more comprehensively the entire system, what we find is that there is, in fact, an immediate and direct consequence of our efforts to decarbonize right now. If we bring carbon emissions to zero, the surface of the planet stops warming up almost instantaneously. So again, there's a direct and immediate consequence of our efforts to decarbonize. Every bit of effort makes a difference, and that's the way we should view this. The task is to avoid as much harm as we possibly can at this point. And that means getting off fossil fuels and stopping carbon pollution as quickly as we can.
To that point, we have just a few minutes left. What is the future of green energy now? There's a piece at ESG Today. Trump administration is halting a $5 billion New York offshore wind project. This was expected to power 500,000 homes with renewable energy. Bloomberg's got a piece today. Trump delivers crushing blow to offshore wind projects. And then the AP reported last month the administration is canceling clean energy grants as it prioritizes fossil fuels. So what do you think about green energy now, Professor Mann?
Yeah, there's no question. The Trump administration is basically doing the bidding of the fossil fuel industry and its petrostate allies like Russia and Saudi Arabia. They're working together to try to do anything they can to stop the clean energy transition. And they may have a little bit of success here, at least for a few years in the United States. That's what we're dealing with here. No question about that. But we have to, you know, this is a global problem. And what matters are global carbon, is global carbon pollution. And even if the United States, we've seen carbon emissions in the U.S. decline year after year now for a couple decades. And that decline may, you know, we may not see that decline continue for the next few years because of these efforts. But if you look globally, 40% of global electricity production is now from renewable energy, from clean energy sources. And so we are making that transition at the global level. We're not making it fast enough yet. And this sort of the policy dismantling by the current administration is going to make it even a little bit tougher because the United States is no longer leading as it was in the past. It's at the back of the line. But keep your eye on the ball. What matters are global carbon emissions. What matters is the long game. And it's about doing as much as we can at the local level, the state level, working with our international partners, non-governmental organizations. So in a few years, if we can actually get our government back, we can really hit the ground running. It's still possible to do.
Shay, final thoughts from you. What do you think is most effective at this point for people who want to take action on the climate?
I think Dr. Mann just put it really, put it well. I mean, I think that state action at the state and local level is really critical. I think in terms of what Dr. Mann said about the Trump administration just trying to cancel investments and stymie the clean energy transition, I think that there is a lot of there can be a lot of momentum on that at the state level, especially since you know, wind and solar energy is less expensive than fossil fuel energy, and that it's a good job creator and it can boost local economies across the country. So I think action, you know, at the state and local level to phase out fossil fuels and do that transition to clean renewables is really key, as well as continuing to fight with all the tools that we have at the assault that's happening at the federal level, and then hopefully have a change in federal government to one that actually protects and cares about people and wildlife and the planet.
And just quickly, Professor Mann, we have an email from Penny who says, we should be talking in Fahrenheit versus Celsius so Americans understand the numbers are greater than we think. What are your thoughts
on that?
Yeah,
that's why I always do to foreign audiences, to European audiences or Australian, I'll talk in Celsius. Here, I always talk about 1.5 Celsius because that's the official target, but I always do the translation. That's 3 Fahrenheit, folks, basically.
Right.
So,
yes.
Yeah, we can do both.
Yes, thank you. Michael Mann is Presidential Distinguished Professor of Earth and Environmental Science, Director of the Penn Center for Science, Sustainability and the Media, and Vice Provost of Climate Science, Action and Policy at the University of Pennsylvania. Professor Mann is the author of many books, including Our Fragile Moment, How Lessons from Earth's Past Can Help Us Survive the Climate Crisis. Professor Mann, thank you so much for your work. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you back.
Thank you. Always a pleasure, Rose.
Thank you. Shay Wolf is Climate Science Director at the Center for Biological Diversity, an organization that works to secure a future for all species, great and small, hovering on the brink of extinction. They do really incredible work. Shay is the lead science director and author of the report, Top Scientists Issue Urgent Warning on Fossil Fuels. Shay, thank you so much for your work. Thank you for joining us. And we would also love to have you back, especially to talk about species, how they're doing right now.
Thank you, Rose. Yeah, it was a pleasure talking with you, and we'd love to be back on to talk about that at any time. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you so much. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.